ராமாய ராம பத்ராய ராமச்சந்திராய வேதசே ரகுநாதாய நாதாய சீதாய பத்யே நமஹ. சுந்தரகாண்ட் சாப்டர் நம்பர் 22. ராவணா கோர்சஸ் சீதா. தி ரெசிடேஷன் பிகின்ஸ் நவ. Her looks make all creation rejoice and feel themselves supremely blessed. And this lady Sita spoke this stern truth to the very face of Ravana, undaunted by his might and cruel face. But he brooked not her words, winged with flame, and gave way to wrath. I have observed during a pretty long life that whenever a man puts himself out to draw the heart of a woman unto himself and speaks to her, words of persuasion ever so gently, they make a barren return for all his pains. The more he tries to reconcile them, the more they turn towards him proud hearts and looks of scorn. A skillful driver brings the runaway horse under control, slowly but surely. Even so, my boundless love to you keeps under restraint my anger. Verily, it is strange beyond all thought, this wayward course of love. Lo, affection and compassion grow apace in our hearts towards the object of our love, but we turn a blind eye to its defects and dangers. So I should most naturally and most justly put you to shame and inflict a lingering death of torture upon you, who still keeps afresh the memory of Rama, the prince of hypocrites. But also my heart rebels against that very thought. Every word that you had dared to utter to my very face deserves instant death by cruel and fiendish torture. Well, 2 short months are left to you of the 12 that I gave you for taking counsel with yourself. Should you fail to come to my arms by that time, my cooks have my commands to prepare you for my breakfast the very next day. And he roared like dark thunder clouds shot with cruel lightnings. The countless ladies from the worlds of Devas and Gandharvas, most cruelly torn away from their happy homes and fond hearts, recall the dark memories of the cruel fate. So they throbbed with sympathy and kindness to Sita, who was passing through the same valley of fear and tribulations. They shot secret glances and kind at Sita and encouraged her silently to hit back. Poor girl, fear not. The sinful wretch can do you no evil. Some put out their lips, others egged her on by meaningful winks, yet others made bold nod of their approval. The lady Sita failed not to note it. She took courage. Her natural sense of utter loyalty and love towards her husband and the consciousness of the boundless might and power of Sri Rama impelled her to entirely ignore Ravana and his vain words. And she set herself to show him the path to peace, honor and happiness. Ravana, I feel certain beyond doubt that your broad realms hold no one who can turn your heart away from this evil course and place your steps on the path of rectitude and virtue. Every mother's son that feeds at your table and sleeps under your roofs has nothing but hard words, thoughts of treachery and evil to you. I am no less than the Lady Sakshi, the best beloved of the Lord of the Devas, and there is no fool that ever dreams of raising his eyes to me with unholy thoughts. Alas, you have committed yourself beyond hope to escape from Rama's wrath. Have you not spoken these words all unholy to her who lies next to his heart? Have you ever heard that there was any doubt about the end of a duel between the maddened elephants in the jungles and a puny hare in his hole? But do not fool yourself with the fond belief that I mean your worthless self when I spoke of the lordly elephant. Nay, it is my Lord Rama and none other. And you are that atom of a hare. Your royal pride and dignity did not blench from waiting like a paltry thief until my Rama was enticed away from the cottage by your mean device. You did not hesitate to steal me away from it like a hungry cur. Has nature forgot to bless you with the least spark of shame? Alas, You know not how much I regret that it was not given you to stand before my Lord in his terrible wrath. It is to me utterly inexplicable why your cruel and ugly eyes fell not, scorched to ashes, the very moment they dared to raise themselves to the face of another woman in shameless lust. The daughter-in-law of King Dashrath, the soul of righteousness, and the beloved wife of Sri Rama, the incarnation of virtue and uprightness. I never thought of another man even in my wildest dreams. And yet you dare to utter words of foul lust to me. Do you know why your wretched tongue did not rot off then and there? Rama has never given me permission to curse anyone that does grievous ill unto me. And I ever guard with devotion and care my wifely loyalty and purity. While my Lord is there to look after me, my heart can never dare to put him by and punish those who are the just objects of his wrath. That is why the fire of my anger has not yet reduced you to ashes and dust ere now. Do you think it is in any way possible to steal me from the side of Sri Rama of matchless intellect? Do not delude yourself with the fond hope that your unholy thoughts were unknown to him. The fates have decreed that I should lead you to the gates of death. That explains the situation most clearly, doubt it not. Lift not your heart in haughty pride that you planned so cleverly to spirit me away from my cottage. You are the hero of 1,000 battles. You are born next to Kubera. Countless myriads obey your behests in war. And with all these, you have to explain why you were driven to the necessity of practicing foul deceit upon my protectors and made away with me like a mean-spirited cur as you are. Thus did Sita deliver herself of a message of winged wrath and scorn. Ravana the terrible rolled his eyes about in anger and flashed looks of frightful import upon her. Black of hue as banked storm clouds, of mighty shoulders like unto lofty mountain peaks, strong of limb and proud of gait like the monarch of the forests, with flaming eyes and tongue, his crown towered aloft with waving plumes, and heightened by contrast the splendor of his garlands of curious workmanship, the many-colored pastes of intricate patterns across his huge breast, his garments of bright scarlet and his armlets, wristlets and other ornaments of gold and gems. A heavy chain encircled his waist, black as the serpent Vasuki that wound itself round the Mount Mandara when it churned in the days of yore the ocean of milk for the nectar of immortality. His shoulders shone from afar like two snow-clad peaks of the same mountain, like unto a hill glorious in its wood of bright red flowers and shoots. His ears blazed with rings that deluded one into the belief that they were two resplendent morning suns. He looked the very incarnation of spring. He was decked in every manner that the brain of man could conceive. With all this, he was hideous to behold and repulsive, even as a crematorium. He stared hard for a while at Sita, his eyes blazing red with wrath, and then hissed forth like the serpent of death. Your heart is not ashamed to cling to that worm of a Rama who has nothing to lose in the world and who is outside the pale of law and justice. Well, you deserve nothing better than instant death at my hands, like unto the rising sun drinking the red blood of life of the morning twilight. The Lord of Lanka, the holy terror of his foes, turned to the Rakshasi guards, whose looks were enough to turn into stone whom they happened to rest upon, and roared an order to them. Now one of them delighted in a single eye, another boasted of a lonely ear, another covered her huge head with her ear, yet others were blessed with ears like those of the elephant, the cow, the horse, and other beasts. Another had her ears trailing behind her, and there was one who was utterly innocent of any such appendage at all. Some had their feet fashioned after those of elephants, horses, and cattle. One of them thought that she could get through life with a single leg. Another was content with a leg of most monstrous dimensions. But the cleverest of the lot was she who dispensed with any such useless article. Some had heads and neck out of all proportions. Some had their breasts and stomach huge beyond description. Some had their mouths and eyes awfully wide like the gates of hell. There was a beauty whose tongue lolled down after her like a flaming serpent. Her friend thought her beneath notice, for she would never even think of troubling herself with one. There were other queens of beauty and grace, some with flat faces that were utter strangers to what was known as a nose. There were some whose faces resembled those of a lion, a boar, or a cow. Ravana cried to them, "My orders are upon your heads and eyes that you turn her heart towards me in fond love, and that as soon as possible. Speak to her kindly, speak to her in anger, speak to her in peace, entice her with glorious promises, draw her away from the side of her husband. In short, every means, high and low, fair and foul, accept actual physical coercion and keep it as the last resort should the others fail utterly." He inflicted his anger upon her and relieved his heart, overwrought with lust and impotent rage, by seeking to overawe his victim again and again. Then Dhanyamalini, one of his favorite queens, drew near him, cast her flower-soft arms around his mighty shoulders, and exclaimed laughingly, "O Lord of the universe, I challenge you to mortal combat in the lists where beauty reigns and love and its delights are the prize of victory. I am painfully surprised that you should even waste a thought upon this puny creature who is no better than a mortal woman, and that with a heart that loathes the very thought of you. See not that she is as pale as death and hideously deformed? What would you do with her? See not that the fates have never written upon her forehead a single letter that would ensure her the unhindered enjoyment of everything that your might and power can give? You know full well that it saps the life currents of a person if he should yearn after a woman that loves him not. But boundless bliss and inconceivable delights are his should he seek the arms of one who has set her heart upon him." Dhanyamalini did not wait for a reply, but dragged Ravana away from the spot. This changed the current of Ravana's thoughts. His mighty brows, drawn down in wrath, grew smooth. He roared with laughter like peals of thunder issuing from storm clouds. The earth quaked with affright, utterly unable to bear his huge weight. He disappeared behind the gates of his palace, like the blazing sun behind the mountains of sunset. There followed in his train the ladies of the harem, transplanted from the worlds of the Devas, the Gandharvas, and the Nagas. And so did Ravana haughtily overbear the innocent and helpless Sita, who, though trembling with fear, would not let go her hold upon her wifely fidelity and purity. With a heart sick of foul lust and hot impure desires, he took his way to the wondrous palace. Mangalam Koshlindraya Mahaniya Gunavati Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhaumaya Mangalam.